Okay, and our next speaker is here talking about the impact of irradiance and carbon dioxide concentration on photosynthesis of ornamental plant species grown in tissue culture.
She just read my title.
My name is John Irwin. I'm going to talk about what she just spoke about. I hail from the great state of Minnesota, the University of Minnesota, the home of Norman Borlaug, the only scientist to get a Nobel Peace Prize, the Honeycrisp apple, and the football team that makes all of your records look better. So, I'm into this. I'm not a plant tissue culture specialist by any stretch of the imagination, but I work with some businesses that have large tissue culture laboratories, and many times these laboratories were trying to grow crops that there's absolutely no information out there on. Succulents that you see in Home Depot, we grow in tissue culture, but we have to figure out how to do those. We grow Australian native plants, we grow rare plants, and we have to figure out the protocols for this. So this was a first attempt, essentially, to try to understand some of the conditions that exist in our tissue culture vessels and tubes, because I couldn't find any answers. So, by way of background, tissue culture, of course, is increasingly being used as an asexual propagation technique, especially with slow-growing species. So a lot of these echeverias and succulents you find, this is a really rapid way to increase the numbers. Tissue culture containers themselves limit diffusion of gases into and out of the container in an attempt to just limit contamination, which has been used for quite some time. Now, sucrose is used because we try to have some of these plants become mixotrophs, where they use sucrose as a carbon source and also photosynthesis as well. But increasingly, we're finding that if we limit the sucrose in the media itself, it can actually enhance growth, okay? And we call this autotrophic, okay? And that growth, and I'll show you some images of that, can actually benefit the acclimation process after we take the material out of the tissue culture container. So we undertook this experiment to basically try to better understand what's going on in the tissue culture containers of some of these different species that we are now growing. So by way of background, on the left you have an unvented vessel, and on the right you have a vented vessel, and just anecdotally, we see that a vented vessel in many cases will actually look better or appear better than an unvented vessel. So we started questioning, well, what could be the basis for this? If we look at some previous literature, this is by Martins et al., where we have sucrose concentration going across the x-axis and fresh weight and dry weight on the y-axis. The solid line is a filter with a PVC cover on top of it, so it's essentially sealed. And you can see that as sucrose goes up from nothing to 15 or 30 grams per liter, you can see that you have an increase in fresh weight and dry weight. But if you look at the vented vessel, you can see that at low sucrose level, that the actual fresh and dry weight are significantly more than the one that's enclosed, so if it's vented. Now, why that is, I don't know. Okay, this was a graph showing that when at night that the CO2 concentration goes up dramatically on tissue culture vessels. Okay, and why is that? Okay, because you have respiration going on, but during the day, as soon as the lights turn on, the CO2 concentration plummets and goes nearly to zero. We look at this graph, it seems like going from apple to whatever this is, changing things. We have days, one over here I'd like you to look at, and day 30 on the far right. And what you see on day one, you see a cycle. Here's the dark cycle, light cycle, and you see almost no cyclic behavior as far as CO2 release and also CO2 uptake. But when you get to day 30, you notice you see that respiratory burst in the dark with the CO2, but also notice that you see a dramatic decrease in the difference in CO2, in other words, indicating that there's photosynthesis going on. The objectives of our work is, first of all, just to determine in tissue culture vessels that are out there, what are the conditions that we're trying to grow these plants under? Okay, now we took this data at a specific time of day, which I'll come back to, because it changes with the time of day. We also wanted to identify how changing the CO2 or radiance levels changes the CO2 differential in the chamber that we're using. I'll show you how we set this up. And then also, we just wanted to see if we increase simultaneously both the irradiance level and CO2 to saturating levels, what's the maximum CO2 differential we can get, or an indicator of photosynthetic rate? And how close are we with our existing conditions to the maximum that we can get? Now, we received these vessels from two different companies. We looked at Aloe, Agave, and Negoxanthus, Carex, Cortland, Dendrobium, Dinea, which is flytraps, Echeverias, and Phalaenopsis. We got them from two different growers. Then what we did is we used a Lycor 6400 photosynthesis meter, and we set it to the insect respiration program, and then used a modified flow-through system. And essentially, you see the two tubes down here. Instead of that long tube, we cut that out, and we put in a TC vessel, okay? And then made that airtight. We did two different things. With objective one, we pushed air that was scrubbed of CO2 through it, so zero, and then to see what CO2 level will come out the other side. And then objective two, I'll show you in a moment. So for CO2 response curves, we went from 25 parts per million up to 1,600 parts per million, and the radiance was set to 200 micromol. And you can see the flow rate and so forth here. With radiance response curves, we went from dark, or zero, up to 1,150 micromol, and our CO2 level was 400 parts per million. And this is an example of the type of chamber we had. We had that sort of plastic chamber, which we drilled the holes on either side, and then passed the gas through it. And we looked at the difference from the CO2 entering the chamber versus the CO2 going out the chamber, okay, which was an indication of the degree of photosynthesis. And from that, we can get this information. So with respect to objective number one, where we looked at these different containers and looked at what sort of CO2 levels were in the container, okay, and this is 4 to 8 hours after the beginning of the day, which is relevant, you can see that agave, aloe, anagazanthus, carex, and dendrobium, all these species differed substantially. Perhaps the greatest difference was dendrobium and also aloe. Now, what's going on with aloe? So what kind of photosynthesis does aloe do? It's a CAM plant. Okay, so during the day, it's giving off CO2, so the level is quite high in that chamber during the day. Now, there was some question as far as whether aloe actually did some C3 when it's not stressed and whether it switched to CAM later, but it is CAM even in TC. And then we had dendrobium that's quite low. But you can see the species varied substantially and significantly in the level of CO2 that was existing in the chambers themselves. If we go to objective two, we look at the CO2 differential. So the CO2 differential between the CO2 exiting the chamber versus entering the chamber increased as the external radiance increased from 0 to 750 micromoles with anagazanthus, right here. And as external radiance increased from 0 to 350 micromoles with Dianea. So Dianea, again, is flytraps. So they have different saturation points. Now, we just add right up front, what are our typical irradiance levels in a tissue culture vessel? They're nowhere near 350 to 750 micromoles. If we look at CO2, the CO2 differential between the CO2 concentration exiting versus entering the TC containers increased as the CO2 concentration entering the chamber went up. So we saw that it increased up to 1,000 parts per million on anagazanthus, 1,000 parts per million on Dianea, the flytraps, but then as Corlin, it was still increasing even up at 600 parts per million. We didn't go any further. Frankly, we expected it to level, but it didn't. If we try to bring both light and CO2 up to saturating levels, try to determine the maximum amount, the numbers are actually quite astonishing. So we compared 45 to 65 micromoles, which is a typical TC sort of environment as far as light intensity, with 200 parts per million of CO2, and then we ran it all the way up to 750 micromoles with 1,600 parts per million. And we got dramatic and crazy increases in CO2 level, just showing there's an incredible amount of potential. Now, I emphasize this is not long-term photosynthesis. This is instantaneous, and the plants adapt to a change in the circumstances around them, particularly CO2. So I expect that these differences would be dramatically less. Having said that, there's still indicate that there's an incredible amount of potential for improvement in the rate of photosynthesis in these vessels themselves. So what are some things that we learned? The data here showed that increasing CO2 and irradiance in tissue culture containers, and I'm not going to talk too much about CAM, I'll come back to CAM with questions, can dramatically increase the instantaneous change in CO2 concentration, which is an indication of photosynthetic rate. Okay? Now, why are we doing this? Because if you dramatically increase photosynthetic rate, from the standpoint of a lab where we're trying to produce 1.8 million Venus flytrap cult vessels and plants, increasing photosynthetic rate even twice will have a huge impact on the actual profitability per vessel. Aside from this, from increases in photosynthesis, we are definitely finding that plantlet survival rate may increase when utilizing photoautotrophic tissue culture procedures. That would be high CO2, high radiance, low sucrose, compared to existing high sucrose, low photosynthesis tissue culture. I would add that we're starting to find that if we actually take the tissue culture vessels out of the lab and put them in a shaded greenhouse, that we're finding that acclimation and survival of the tissue culture plantlets is dramatically improved as well. A pet peeve to add to this, okay, are the containers that we use. How many times do I see containers filled like this down on the bottom? Next turn, we just went to our tissue culture lab on our fourth floor, and we measured the radiance. It was 58 micromole. Then we had the flask with a sticker that was sitting there, and noticed that it reduced it from down to 40.2 micromole, or 32% decrease in radiance by putting that sticker on there. If the sticker is removed from the flask, you go down 15%, so you actually gain 15% light by removing that sticker that was in the center of that vessel. And the clear flask, when we compared it to a clear flask versus that plastic tub that was more opaque, it only reduced the radiance 6%. These containers matter, and I'm always astonished how we use these opaque containers and then expect the plants to perform well. So in closing, I'll just some acknowledgments. First, George, my graduate student, who did all this work and was up into the evenings measuring CO2 and light response curves. Altman Plants, who provided us a number of this plant material, ORCA is limited as well. The Floriculture and Nursery Research Initiative, which is part of the USDA ARS, the Floriculture Research Alliance, and the Minnesota Agriculture Experiment Station. With that, I'll entertain any questions if I can.
I noticed you use all the plant material, herbaceous plants. How about the woody plants?
I don't know. You know, just looking at the photosynthetic rate of a woody versus herbaceous, I would expect that many of them would be lower, but I don't know. I'm trying to think if we do any woodies. No, everything we're doing is herbaceous.
John, you'll just have to come downstairs.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You know, there's so much work to be done in herbaceous. That's why, you know, we're doing it. Yep, all the way in the back.
With the vented containers, did your contamination?
You know, from what I've been seeing, the answer is no. But you put the vented container into a clean room, right? It's part of a process. So people will put this vented container and sit it someplace in an open lab on a rack, and you're going to have problems. So the potential for using this is actually to have a set-aside clean room. I threw this up here because this is some new trays being sold. I was just down in Ohio. They're large trays, and so we're looking at these as a possibility for doing larger quantities of plants, and we're looking at putting a stopper through the plastic where we can inject CO2 into the sterilized CO2 into the container to get larger numbers of plant materials, and also, of course, doing more vertical with the new LEDs. But I would just say, just last thing, we are way under limiting photosynthesis on a lot of the TC stuff that we're growing. So I just want to emphasize that. Okay, thank you.